In English, to air is you.
It's neutral to air.
Yes, to air is human. E khotswa e le maotomane. E khotswa e le maotomane. To air is human. What I was supposed to do was to allow the department to usher in SA Tourism Chairperson and the CEO. So because the minister is not here, my dearest comrade, Honorable Deputy Minister, Ndadi Masale, over to you.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to honorable members of the Patrolo Committee. Let's take this opportunity to thank the Patrolo Committee for inviting us to come and present the first quarterly performance report by the SAT. Niswati gave a sermon, but it's a
social baby.
No, thanks very much. So we were with the SAT to present the first quarter performance report. As you know, Chair, we started the first quarter, which is the 1st of April. Firstly, under hard lockdown, level 5. That's how we started the quarter. And then second, subsequent to that, a jump part of the budget of SAT was cut because there were no activities much activities that we expected to take place. Subsequent that, the main focus was about how do we recover, how do we going forward, plan a recovery for a tourism sector once it's up and operational. So a recovery plan was then developed, facilitated by SAT as part of the activities during this first quarter. And also I'm working with the TBSA to make sure that there is health protocols and standards that are set for the sector so that when it opens, is able to create confidence to the tourists that traveling will be safe at the end. As you have said, Chair, we just came from the tourism month, September, and celebrated the World Tourism Day. The theme of the year is in line with the approach of the committee that has been declared by UNWTO, which is tourism and rural development, which means there is an expectation on our part, both the department and the SAT, to develop tourism in the rural areas and make sure that there is the beneficiations of people in relation to tourism in the rural areas. What products must we then develop? What product must therefore be able to be sold to the international world that are in the rural areas in particular? So that should be our focus. That should be the main thing of the year. Because you can't, because they proclaim it in September last month as a theme for that celebration. You can therefore say, no, it was that September, therefore that's the end of the story. It means it should be our guide throughout the year in terms of how do we approach tourism in the context of rural development so that we are able to make sure that we develop rural areas. And that will help a great deal in improving the livelihoods of people in the rural areas who are dominantly marginalized, dominantly women. And therefore, you will be also able to reduce the migrations once you improve the way the tourism products in the rural areas. You will reduce migrations of young people into towns, because you will create business for them in the rural areas, you will create job opportunities for them, and there will not be a need for them to then around and go around into cities. You will also be preserving our own customs, our culture, using tourism as a factor. There is potential to do that, and we have to work very hard, all of us, to make sure that that becomes a reality. Without much ado, Chair, I will then hand over to the Chair of the Board, together with the CEO, to then take us through the presentation. Thanks.
No problem. Go on, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Comrade Deputy Minister. Proceed, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and once again, good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Today I have with me various board members, Deputy Chair of the Board, Advocate Mo Changonyane Gumbi, she is here, Ravi is here, Gloria is here, and Kate is also here. And also with the executives led by Mr. Stephen Chona. Indeed, it is a pleasure to be here today, thanking again the opportunity for us to come and account for our performance in the first quarter. Perhaps one must start by reflecting on the events of the first quarter. I think that when the hard lockdown was started just at the end of March, after the first case zero of the COVID-19 infection, you know, that was reported in the country. And with that, immediately, because tourism was indeed identified as one of the potential spreaders of the COVID infection, so it became apparent that it's going to be the last one, or the one that was going to be hard hit, because the lockdowns were mainly targeted at limiting the movement of people, which is actually the lifeline of tourism, that movement. So that then necessitated the revision of the APP that was previously approved. And that revision was also necessitated by the fact that in order to allow the country to mobilize all its resources towards the fight against the epidemic, so our budget was accordingly cut. That then said that even if we wanted to do any activities besides the fact that in any event, even if we want to market, we are not going to market when people are not allowed to travel. And therefore, it made sense to allow for those resources to be diverted elsewhere, with a promise that as soon as this sector opens, Treasury will relook at our situation. And when we then request that the sector is open, now we need to aggressively market the country, and then they will do their best to avail those resources again. It is in that context that the revised APP was then drafted, premised on four pillars. One was to reignite demand. The other one was to rejuvenate supply, and then also building internal capability. Of course, the fourth one then became the corporate services part of the APP. In that pillars of the revised APP, which was premised also on the draft recovery plan, then that was also being drafted and consulted with the industry and various stakeholders. So that APP is actually anchored in the recovery plan, which is awaiting various government approvals. Once it is approved, then going to be the document within which we are able to move forward. On that basis, we had about 19 targets overall for the quarter, of which when we then look at the pillars of the if we locate the APP where we anticipated where we'll be by this time, it's almost as with the borders now being open, we are at level one. So there is some movement that is permitted, including international tourists that the travelers that could be able to come to the country, albeit there are still issues with the countries that are still posing a higher risk in terms of infection, and therefore they find themselves in the ban list. Of course, that list, we know that it gets reviewed quite regularly, so the situation will keep on changing as we move along. But with that being said, is we had 19 targets, we achieved 18, and then one, we've done significant work on it, but it's still not achieved, and then it's mainly around the issues of being able to recruit people with disabilities. Within SAT, so there are plans in place already to try and address that, so that as we move towards the year, we are able to also achieve that one. And just to indicate that internally, the processes that we have is the targets that we have set ourselves, we do involve our internal audit unit to just verify the portfolio of evidence and confirm that indeed those targets were achieved. Allow me, Chair, to hand over to the CEO, who is then going to take us through the specific targets and provide a bit of a meat and explanation on them. There's no major issues, as I've said, that 18 of those were already achieved, which is a 95% performance share. I will hold for now, then thereafter, the rest of the colleagues, the board members that are with me, will also add in and assist if they've got something else to say, and then we'll then allow the colleagues, the committee members, for questions and comments so that we can then be able to respond. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, and good morning, honorable members. I think my board chair has done such a brilliant job that I'm just going to fill in the gaps, as it were. Today, I'm joined by the executive team of South African Tourism, and I'll be taking you through, as the chair said, some of the context and details of the Q1 performance. And then thereafter, the team will chip in then and take any questions from the perspective. The CFO will then come in on the latter part of the report just to give some flesh around the financial perspective. Let me just share my screen. As has been said before, you know, in essence, 2020, the Q1, was when the pandemic and lockdown actually started in South Africa. We had to review and revise our APP, and as a result, then the APP that we have was more internal looking, because that was where things had changed for us, about making sure that we build the capacity of SA Tourism, review certain policies, invest in technology and in digital and all those other items to make sure that when things change, we're in a better position as well. We also had to quickly pivot as an organization. For the very first time, SA Tourism had to tell people, tourists around the world, not to travel to South Africa, but rather delay their travel to travel later because the pandemic was upon us. One, when looks back right now, it's amazing at how little we knew then, you know, in terms of the path that we're going to go through. This slide, it just kind of gives a sense in terms of the turmoil that the COVID pandemic has hit right across, you know, globally. From a tourism perspective, I'm sure many of you are aware and are familiar with it, but it always gives a good context that South Africa is not alone in this fight of COVID pandemic, but it's also part of an ecosystem globally from the perspective there. The chair has already said that we undertook a process to retract the previous APP that was submitted and that was anchored a lot on predominantly on arrival numbers, on spend, on domestic tourism activities, the traditional matrix that we use in terms of assessing the impact of our marketing activities and engagement. We then had to rework that, as the chair said. One of the pillars was about, you know, protecting the supply side, making sure that whilst tourism businesses were not allowed to operate, they essentially did not deteriorate. So when the things changed, there was a sector to speak of. Secondly as well is reigniting demand to make sure that whilst we are closed as a country, in the important markets, we're not forgotten as a destination. Almost a holding pattern, as it were, all over the world, that South Africa is still there, don't come now, but come a bit later. And all of these had to be reworked and revised, basically, within the perspective. And these are just the three pillars that I kind of speak about as well. The third one was about enabling capability. And this is where we really had to amplify our engagement with the sector. You know, with limited information, but almost on a weekly basis, like taking webinars, exchanging information, and this all led to the start of actually the compilation of the recovery plan, which essentially becomes then the anchor document, as it were, in terms of how the sector is going to see its kind of recovery going forward as well. We're still estimating anything between 24 to 30 months in terms of a time frame, just to return back to 2019 levels. Again, things are changing on a regular basis, so one can never predict what will happen, but just rather to put in simulation. We are also observing what is happening around the Northern Hemisphere, you know, from the perspective of the second wave, as it were, coming back quite aggressively as well. And we've got to take all of these sensitivities into account from this side. We had also said that in the recovery plan, the recovery will be led inside out, starting essentially with domestic tourism, then regional, then ultimately international. We are in phase two right now as a country, if I can project forward, where domestic is fully able to, and also regional is also allowed to travel to South Africa, but, you know, and then subject to any visa or negative COVID tests on arrival to the borders as well. So again, all of this is playing out essentially in terms of how we've kind of targeted. So for the foreseeable future, the focus then becomes domestic and also regional as we kind of build that momentum to make sure that we can get as much value and extraction as possible and to recover the sector from this perspective. From the ATP perspective, we are segmented into five different programs: the corporate support side, the business enablement side, leisure tourism marketing, business events, and ultimately tourism experience as well. And I'm going to be giving you a sense in terms of the different five categories, how we move through across from that perspective. The chair did say that for the Q1, we had 19 APPs to report back on. And again, I'm pleased to confirm that out of the 19, 18 have been delivered. And that is also effort testament to the team coming together. And the one is actually, we've made significant progress on it, but it's still subject to a bit more effort to make sure that we can get that APP in check. This just then becomes like a display split program-wise that gives a sense in terms of the ones in green are the ones that have been delivered and reported for Q1. The ones in black are annual targets that will be giving a sense for being Q2. And then the yellow ones is the one that we are partly achieved, and the red ones essentially the ones that we are struggling with. This is the summary. I will take you through to the actual detail around it, which kind of gives you a sense in terms of where we're at. And I'll start basically over here. You have the report that I will assume that has been read, so I'll just highlight any exceptions that I just want to bring your attention to. But essentially on this one, achieving good corporate and cooperative governance, that was very clear. Even though in a lockdown environment, work had to continue. As a tourism, had to ensure that we do not lose sight of any, you know, in terms of governance issues or any other elements from the perspective. Payment of invoices within 30 days was quite key, because we understood at that time that the biggest support that we can give, you know, during the lockdown period was to pay our suppliers on time so that they can also ensure that they can, you know, get their businesses running, pay salaries, etc., etc. So we are very deliberate to clear up as much as possible to make sure that we pay our creditors as quickly as possible, you know, subject to them having all the necessary, you know, information there. Cleaning up of previous audit findings is a key focus for the SA Tourism. so that we don't have a repeat, essentially, of the same findings coming up over and over again. And again, we spend this time to make sure that we get all the audit findings and systematically work through them and make sure that there's no repeat, essentially, from that perspective. I think those are the two things I wanted to highlight, essentially, from this page here as well. This one as well, also about designated groups. We are talking about SMEs, we are talking about youth, we are talking about women, and also disabled. A focus to make sure that, you know, we can tweak our policies so that they are, weighed, you know, quite heavily towards these designated groups in order to give them market access opportunities, in order for them to do business with SA Tourism right across our value chain. And that's something we've been looking at as well. Employment equity compliance also becomes important in terms of the people, the composition of people that work within SA Tourism. And again, the quiet time gave us an opportunity to have a look right across the board. How are we stacking up? Do we have, are we diverse, you know, as per our targets? And that one I can put hand on heart that we're essentially from that perspective. Skills development became key. Using this quiet time, whilst the traditional sources of our business are closed, to actually skill people, to actually identify the gaps that we have and invest in our staff so that they can be, if necessary, equipped in order to do their job as much as they can, you know, when things open up on the other side. Youth recruitment is also quite key. Our internship program did not stop whilst everything else kind of came to a halt. We've got a whole batch of new recruits now that have joined us as of this month, but the process would have started way back then to make sure that we become a training ground for a lot of young people that want to venture into the tourism sector and space as well. Here I'll highlight the yellow space, and this is the target that we have about employing people with the percentage of disabilities, essentially. And again, here, during the lockdown period, we implemented a staff moratorium, so there are no people that are being employed, essentially. You'd all know that SA Tourism is potentially going through a repurposing with other agencies as well. And we wanted to give space and time to make sure we understand what's on the other side before filling up our house, as it were, and potentially causing duplications down the line. So we're being very deliberate and very clear on that side. What resolution that we've taken as a management team is that we will also identify specialist recruitment firms that specialize in people with disabilities, so that as we have more opportunities and vacancies with SA Tourism, they will also assist us to identify those spaces, those people that are able to come into the organization, so that we can be truly an open, fair, and consistent organization and support of the entire ecosystem of people working in the country. This is also quite procedural from your perspective here on this one. Automation is quite key. We really are moving in a fast-track environment where we've got 9 global offices around the world. We need to be connected and in an instant be able to communicate and seamlessly, you know, make approvals, make changes, etc., etc. So therefore, our automated environment within SA Tourism, automating our processes, so that things don't take 3-4 times as long. Agility is the name of the game right now within the world of destination. And if SA Tourism is slow, not able to move very quickly, will essentially be in a lot of trouble and be behind the curve in terms of making sure we recover our market share of global tourism activities there. Here as well, I did allude earlier on around stakeholder engagement. We really amped up quite substantially in terms of making sure that we engage with the sector. And just to give context, this was at a time when none of us had answers, when none of us had an idea of where things are going to, with the sector that was angry, with the sector that was irritated, with the sector that demanded answers as to why are they being targeted. They're not able to operate. They need support and. And I'm sure we're all think back in a very good time. But we're very clear, we need to be in front of it. We need to engage as well. And I think this is the effort of the work that the team put together to make sure that we can provide as much as we can. Obviously, this was done with our department of tourism as well, make sure we're all on the front end of things as well. Publishing information, giving out insights, giving out research also helps quite a lot to make sure that, again, here, we're at the front end of it. The last part is about the B2B portal that we have been speaking about for some time. And this is essentially, I think, where the Honorable Chair has spoken about, that domestic must look at VTSDs as well. And these are platforms that we are creating that, you know, become market access so that we can shine the spotlight on the small, emerging, typically invisible businesses so that they can be part of the ecosystem. The fact that we are starting out with domestic, then regional, gives us an opportunity to rewrite some of the gaps that existed previously. And as right now, we all have to look inward for joy, as it were. And again, this gives opportunity for all those emerging enterprises to make sure that we can put them in the front end, you know, and then really give them that spotlight, as it were. Here as well, here, we're talking about our marketing investment framework. Again, the world is not standing still. Things are moving at a very rapid pace. We have to quickly get to a point, essentially, where we understand and identify who's going to be our investment countries or source markets, as it were. We cannot assume necessarily that the countries previously will still continue and prevail. There's also this bridge that we have to be aware of, what I call the medium-term bridge. And these are essentially where some of the traditional markets of ours, like the US as an example, like Europe, where right now they may not be in a position to be able to ask to look at them and target them, but to keep them probably in the back burner, as it were, so that when things change in those environments, we're able to pull them in. And this is their whole marketing investment framework, so that our decisions are driven by data and insights. Our decisions are actually driven by also the changing and fluid environment, and that's going to be quite key when I spoke about the agility part of it as well. And then here as well, this is the part of the work that is done by the brand and marketing team led by the chief marketing officer, where trends are changing and we have to really be, again, move quite drastically on that side. You know, where traditional forms of marketing are also changing. I'm talking about TV and billboards, which are typically heavy and expensive, and really moving to the digital space where everything lives, you know, electronically, either on your cell phone or your iPad, etc. And user-generated content becomes also part of the theme of how we drive things, because it's more authentic, but it's also inclusive of South Africans and people that travel the country contribute towards the content side of it as well. And again, there's a lot of thinking that the team had to do essentially from that perspective and pivot around so that when things change, we kind of perspective from that side. Africa's Travel Indaba had to be cancelled this year, which was essentially due in May. And again, for obvious reasons in terms of the lockdown situation, the team then had to look at in terms of when we come out the other side, what is Africa's Travel Indaba going to look like? There's a lot of conversations about hybrid. So what does hybrid look like? Are we still going to keep the same form and shape? What investments do we need to make in terms of digital or electronic in order to have, you know, Indaba back again? It's also about a statement of intent, and it really introduces South Africa back to the world in a very proud manner, if I can call it that. So the team did some work in terms of the brand key and brand positioning of South Africa's Travel Indaba, inclusive also of Meetings Africa, and also the welcome campaign. And within the next couple of months, you'll start to see a lot of the results of that work that has come through around the brand, really making sure that South Africa as a travel destination is not forgotten as well, and is still revered as one of the top destinations to go through to the world as well. Trade is important, making sure that we understand you know, the consumer preferences that are changing on a daily basis as new data points come through all the time. So really building that capability as well. Partnerships are going to be the key enabler for us. I think the days of SA Tourism essentially going alone on many of the activities or ventures are kind of things of the past. Collaboration, partnership is really going to be at the center of this, because you need both sides in order to get that conversion typically happening, so that we can start to see the turnstile as it will start to turn and get those other activities. So essentially a partnership framework, a partnership policy had to be developed in order to make sure that you know, we've got a necessary framework with which to engage in all these partnerships. And by the way, these partnerships are horizontally across the private sector, and also within public sector government as well. And vertically, right across the different segments. So whether we're talking sport, art, culture, et cetera, we're looking for any form of activities that actually give South Africa some form of prominence and give people a reason to move around the country or move into the country, as it were, from their perspective. So the whole outlook really became a focal point. This included our website and, you know, the, some of those activities there. Now, one of the first sectors, you know, subsectors within the tourism value chain that impacted the most was our business events. We saw them as early as January, even before our first case in South Africa getting COVID, as an example, where we saw global activities and events being cancelled, including the ones that were happening in South Africa. And at the time, we could not understand because we thought, well, we don't have COVID, so why are global events being cancelled that are happening in South Africa as well? So again, getting that sense of an event can take anything up to 3 to 5 years in order to plan ahead and to target ahead, but get cancelled within a second day. This is our bulk acquisition machine, where at one agreement, you can get 5,000, 8,000 delegates coming through for a period of 5-6 days, bringing together their spouses, their partners, their children, and you can imagine that perspective then. The team yet did not continue to work during the lockdown and really started to target bids that were essentially 3 to 5 years out, those outer years, because we have the view that within the next, you know, by the time 3-5 years comes, as an example, the world will be in a better place of understanding of the pandemic and have a vaccine, as it were, or any other activities from that perspective. So the team has done well there to make sure that from a bidding perspective, we will continue to make those bids as well, again, projected to 3 to 5 years from now as well. This then section deals with our grading council, as it were. And honorable members, the last time we had a conversation, he also gave us direction that although the tourism amendment bill is coming through as well, we should not lose our eye off the ball in terms of making sure that grading becomes as inclusive as possible. Grading should not be a tool that actually excludes people out, but rather should be inclusive. And hence this basic quality verification project started out. And it's really about identifying all those establishments that don't quite meet the current criteria yet, but are at the front door. How then do we assist them to bring them in as well? Also looking at new categories, you know, homestays, example, that typically would not fit the current regime, but make sure that we build all those in. We are piloting this in the Eastern Cape, and again, some of the results that will come out there will be implemented to make sure we can make this program wide. It is really a worthwhile project to make sure that we are inclusive as possible, that we can also bring the seal of quality assurance to a lot of those emerging enterprises targeted essentially also within the VTSD space as well. So that's essentially, I think, as far as the program is perspective, you know, element on that side. Key thing there as well, revised APP, more internal looking, really themed, gearing for the future. And with it as well, as the chair had said, we gave back a significant amount of budget because essentially our traditional metrics were actually coming off the APPs. So the budget that we've got reflected you know, the commitments that we're willing to make basically on the APP, as it were. 66% of our budget was then taken back, 163 million I think as well, be taken back then into the fiscus in order to get fight the pandemic as a country. I will now hand over to the Chief Financial Officer, Nombulelo, who then take us through some of the finance highlights and items over there. So over to you, Nombulelo. I will drive for you and let me know when to move.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. I'm on slide 26 of the pack, CEO. Thank you. The revenue analysis slide reflects a conservative approach from a revenue projection perspective. In fact, at the time, where revenue streams were highly dependent on tourism activity, there was no revenue projected for them, as you can see with the exhibition income, grading fees, and TOMSA as well, which is excluded from the slide. And then from a revenue realization perspective, the transfer from NDT were consistent with projected revenue, and we did receive the funds that we targeted for the quarter. And in fact, the allocation received during quarter one represented 33% of total annual revenue projection. From a grading revenue perspective, we realized during the quarter 4.6 million rand, and it was mainly due to the realization of graded establishments that are linked to the tourism incentive program, as well as those establishments that chose to stay within the grading system. Then on a sundry revenue perspective, we realized 111%, we actually got more than what we had projected, and it's mainly due to investment decisions that we made so that we can generate interest income so as to enhance our available financial resources during quarter one. Next slide, please. I'm on slide 27. It's still showing the revenue slide, CEO. Can we move to the expenditure analysis, please?
Okay. Apologies, let me do this here.
Thank you. So the expenditure analysis slide reflects a time when financial resources focused on internal business transformation activities in order to build our internal capability. It also reflects investment in contractual obligations at the time, as well as minimal investment in outward facing marketing activities. If we look at program one, which is corporate support, the main investment there was due to investment in finance. So from an activity perspective, it would be all your audit fees. It's also linked to investment in our ICT environment. So all your software investment as well as ICT support is included in program one. And it represented 29% of total budget to date. And then from a business enablement perspective, which is program two, you see from a trend perspective that the investment there is significantly lower than our usual activity in program two. And it's because of the decision to solely focus on the enhancement of our marketing investment framework, and hence the 6 million rand that is reflected as expenditure for program two. That represented 18% of our total budget year-to-date amount. And then from a leisure tourism marketing perspective, the 91 million there mainly reflects our investment from a contractual obligation perspective, and that would be our operating costs in the country offices from a tourism execution side. But we also chose to have minimum marketing present, and it was mainly due on a social media platform or digital marketing. So there's an element of marketing investment just to keep the brand alive that's included in program three. I think what is important there is just to reflect on the upfront payments that are usually made at the beginning of the financial year. And all those upfront payments, be it lease due to leases or operating leases that we have in country or any other ICT investment that we make, the upfront payments are due to contractual obligations. We do not do any forward contracting or upfront payments that are not in line with contractual conditions. And then from a business events program four perspective, the investment there is due to best support activities that took place in the NCB or business event space. And then lastly, visitor experience talks to the investment in the tourism grading space. And we can then move to the next slide.
It seems to be stuck. Apologies for this.
I'll just talk to the slide while we wait. So then the slide 28 in the pack, in fact, is the economic classification of our expenditure or of our investment. It reflects both our overhead as well as marketing investment. So it's a summary of program level investment at an economic classification perspective. So current spending then talks to our employee cost, which is in line with what we projected, and there were no material variation there. In fact, as in quarter one, our employee cost was 25% of our annual budget projection. And then from a goods and services perspective, excluding capital expenditure, it includes both overhead investments or your operational costs as well as your marketing investment. And it links back then to the previous slide from at a program level, all your costs excluding the compensation of employees. And that was 45% of our annual year-to-date expenditure. And the reason for that is when you prepay certain expenses, as the time progresses, you begin to amortize those prepayments. So at the end of the year, you should be able to break even. And then the last line item from an economic classification perspective is capital assets. When we presented our revised APP, we committed to portfolio committee members that one of the decisions that we made in was to limit our capital investment or additions to capital or assets, long-term assets. So what the decision was then to use our current assets and extend their useful life so as not to then have material or significant cash outflow from a capital investment perspective, and hence the 8% year-to-date expenditure on a capital investment. We then move to slide 29, which in fact is a detail of the goods and services line item in slide 28, and it begins to then drill down on what exactly we invested in. So in slide 29, which is the analysis of goods and services, shown as 188 million rand annual budget in slide 28, it then shows that the bulk of it was marketing investment, and the CEO touched on it when he went through the performance report. And our investment there was on the production side, which was marketing content creation, and as well as capabilities, which are the agencies we then used for marketing content creation. And that was on the marketing investment side. On the research side, the investment there, I've already touched on it in the previous slide, was due to the enhancement of our MIF, so our marketing investment framework. And then our other goods and services then relate to our overhead investment. So it's all our professional fees, be it a legal fees or legal services, be it audit fees included in professional fees, as well as rentals or leases for our country offices where we operate. And it also includes then your realized and unrealized foreign exchange gains and losses. And that's the detail of goods and services. The 188 million budget reconciles back to the amount that's sitting in slide 29. And then the last slide is a graphical representation of slide 29. It just shows from a percentage perspective the split in our investment from a production perspective, which links to your marketing content creation and capabilities, which links to the investment in agencies that we used to market, as well as other goods and services, then links to professional services, our leases, agency fees, as well as audit fees and IT support activities. Chair, this enclosure, this report or the financial reports reflect a financial status of an entity that operated during a period where the tourism sector was disrupted by COVID-19. It in fact reflects a reduced budget and the best use of available resources at that time. So as we come back to account on a quarterly basis, our members will begin to see the impact of our current engagement with Treasury, especially on the revenue side, where through the department and based on the principles of zero-based budgeting, we've started to engage them on the need for additional marketing resources so as to reignite demand, especially with the immediate focus on regional markets as well as domestic markets. And then as well on the other revenue streams, the members will then begin to also see the realization of other revenue streams, be it the tourism, the Tomsa levy revenue stream, as well as the grading or grading revenue fees. I will then hand back to the CEO for the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Nomulelo. Much appreciated there. Honourable members, I'm now going to look at the human capital side. Our people are our most important asset. This is how we deliver our services, SSA Tourism. Not much movement here. We've had one vacancy for the particular quarter within the expert team. And then our hub heads is also part of our country managers where we had one movement over there. I did state earlier on that we put in a moratorium in place. This essentially was to allow for the repurposing of the organization and the potential merger with other entities so that we don't stack up, the buses that were and create duplication basically on the other side. That process is also ongoing and it should be, finalized quite soon so we get certainty from the perspective. Governance side, this is essentially giving me a sense in terms of the engagement level, especially with board. You can appreciate that when we went through lockdown, a lot was unknown. So the level of engagement between the executives and board with other stakeholders was really amplified. This kind of gives you a sense in terms of there were 13 engagements just in one quarter. And that's usually something that is done for the year. But I think there were so many engagements there. Information was coming in thick and fast. And I must also, say a big thank you to board for really stepping up. I don't know how many special board meetings we had to really speak and engage with a lot of the issues that came through at the time, almost on a weekly basis. This gives you a list of all of the board engagements that we have right across there, for the quarter one that we are covering as well. Let's talk to the subcommittees of the board within the particular quarter as well there. And then there's also furthermore subcommittee meetings. Then this is just a graphical representation of the board members and the meeting that they attended, essentially tips and then crossed there. We've had in the quarter under review one resignation as a board member from Yaqub Abba Omar, and we've also had three new board members that have joined, and I'll cover that in the next little section over there. So yes, this is the resignation of Abba Omar, resigned in May, and then two new board members of Gloria and Mojangu, appointed 1 May 2020, and Mr. Mdubuz is actually appointed in June 2020 as well. This then also gives in terms of the remuneration of the board, of the board costs for Q1 across the various members there as well. Honourable members, this is the end of our presentation on quarter one. And as I said, 18 of the 19 APP targets have met, so we are proud of that. We are closely monitoring to make sure our APPs are always checked and delivered upon, because that is a promise that we have made as well. In the back of that, that's where we get our funding, as it were. Things are changing very quickly within the tourism space. So agility is something that naturally that we are engendering and training in all the time. We've also set up a specialist unit called the EPMO. It's a management office that allows us to be able to respond to any eventualities that come from time to time. No one had a clue that there will be a level one right now, as an example. But we are where we're at, and it's about understanding then how then you quickly get in front of it and make sure that we can deliver there. I'll put a pen in it for now and hand back to you, Chair, and the executive team is also available to pick up any questions or clarifications. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CEO and the team. Honourable Chair, I think we can pause for now and hand over back to you to take any questions, and then myself and the rest of the board members will respond accordingly with the support of the CEO. Thank you, Chair.
Kela Chairperson. Honorable Deputy Minister, is there anything to amplify?
No, I'm covered. Chair, we'll engage when there are other issues politically that might require our intervention.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Deputy Minister, the Chairperson of the Board, the CEO and the CFO and the rest of the collective of the members of the Board for the presentation. Members, there's the presentation. We can now engage. Honorable Abra. Honorable Ibrahim, are you there? It's now your opportunity to engage the report. Honorable Khalifa.
Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson. Yes. No, thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. And thank you very much to the team and yourself, Chair, and the Deputy Minister, and the CEO and the Chairperson of the Board and the team. Chairperson, it's very difficult to ask a number of questions to this report because of the lockdown. And we know that there were a lot of programs which were developed through the report, and because of the lockdown, some of those programs were very difficult to be implemented. There are three issues that I'm going to raise, Chairperson. Is around the issue of grading, and I'm happy that the CEO, since we have raised this issue in our last interaction, there has been progress on the grading. And we really need to welcome that, Chairperson, to our, when we requested that the board must really prioritize the issue of grading. The second issue, Chairperson, would be around your rulers. You remember that we have prioritized the issue of rulers and your village, your small towns, and other areas, which is we agreed that those issues must be prioritized by the board and the administration. The third issue, Chairperson, which is under these conditions, and I hear when they were making presentation around the issue of marketing, I think needs to be prioritized, Chairperson, and put more resources. Because people, they still have challenges around issues of coming to our area, South Africa, and also focusing on the domestic tourists. We know that internationally, indeed, is important, but you remember, Chairperson, we requested the board and the administration that we must do a lot of work in our domestic tourism. And start marketing our areas and mobilize South Africans to be able to move and start understanding their own country and enjoy their own country, Chairperson. The last issue, Chairperson, would be disability. And I hear that the CEO and that they are starting prioritizing. And it's important that, Chairperson, when we get the next report, we must get progress around those issues, Chairperson, because these are key issues which is our people, they keep raising when we interact with them, when even we interact with our constituencies, they keep raising these issues that we are not prioritizing, government is not prioritizing those areas. Chairperson, I think those are issues that I'll raise. And we can welcome the report under these conditions. We have done well, Chairperson, including those meetings, which is the board was able to have a lot of meetings using the technology and be able to monitor the implementation of the program of the board. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, Honorable Khalifa, that day, Gumbi. The Honorable Gumbi, you are next. Honorable Krambok.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are very clear.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think Honorable Gumbi was tied up inside another institution, and I think he might be coming on fairly soon, if that helps you. But thanks for giving me an opportunity. So I think we've all realized that the world is changing and has changed with COVID. And one of the things we've all had to learn how to do is to work from home. And what seems to be coming through quite often is that having been forced into this situation, both employers and employees have found that working from home is actually not as difficult as might have been envisaged before we had the lockdown, and that people working remotely have often performed more effectively than actually coming to an office and spending maybe 3-4 hours a day in traffic, as is the case in some of the bigger centers around the world and our metros in South Africa. And one hears more and more and more these days how businesses are remodeling and reorganizing the way they're going to work, particularly with the number of employees that they're going to have. They feel that because of the efficiencies, there might be reasons to have a smaller and more effective workforce, which is not good news at all for employment systems. But it's the reality that we are facing, in that in the restructuring post-COVID, it might be that many businesses are going to look at it like that. And therefore, my question, Chairperson, to the CEO was, have they looked at whether, in fact, a similar type of restructuring is either necessary or desirable or both at SA Tourism? Have they got plans, perhaps in the future, because it's going to take another year, even if we have a vaccine next month, to get it to all 8 billion people in our planet? It's going to take a long time for everybody to get it, and it's more likely that vulnerable people and healthcare workers will get it first. And therefore, we're going to have to still be looking at restructuring for some time. What is the thinking in terms of doing things differently next year and possibly restructuring the way we set up our employees in this department and in SA Tourism and the entity? Are there any thoughts about going down that road? If so, what might those thoughts be? Can you give us some idea of what the thinking is and where we might be going next year in terms of a complete rethink of how we work, how many people work, and whether any restructuring or not is necessary? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Krambok. That is all. Baba Sol. Honorable Sitole.
I'm sorry, Chair, we've got an apology from Dajis Tole. He has attended PC on transport.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you, Mieni.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, the board and the GM. No, Chairperson, I'm covered in this presentation. Thank you.
You're okay. That's a different topic.
Good morning to you, Chair. Just a few questions. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And thanks to the board and the CEO for a succinct presentation. Just if I could just ask the CEO if he could unpack the unbranding. I've been reading about it a bit. I'm still a little unsure as to the unbranding and what the main objective is of SAT. And then also if he could just tell us the immediate things that are taking place with regards to domestic and international tourism and bringing that up. Thank you very much.
Okay. Gumba Gumba.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and greetings to everyone. Chair, I have only one question, two questions. My questions are with regards to quality assurance. My first question is, when is the new grading policy going to be finalized? And the other question is grading compulsory and free in South Africa as the committee has actually mandated the department? Thank you. Or the entity. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Gumba. Honorable Gumbi. Honorable Gumbi, are you back? Honorable TS?
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me greet everyone. In welcoming the report of SA Tourism Chair, let me first appreciate the presentation of the first quarter and also appreciate the background, the stream background of the CEO, Mr. Jona. Your background looks beautiful. It reminds us of where we come from. Those who don't have that background.
You must maintain.
It talks a lot. My plea to you, Mr. Jona, is that even if you are on a virtual meeting with the international world, you must show that background. It starts there because there may be people who need that rural experience, sleeping in a rondavel, enjoying rural lifestyle, ending up paying some rands and thousands to the owner of those rondavels. Keep it up, Mr. Chair. Let me come to the presentation, Chair. My comment first to the department at SAT. You see, I wanted to say they need to embark on a serious campaign, Chair, on the importance of reminding South Africans about the importance of the sector that contributes more on the economy, because there has been stigma, Chair, around tourism. You remember during this COVID period, it was taken as if the tourism is a big contributor to the spread of coronavirus. So you remember the first case that we had as a country. So they need to create awareness right through as both the department and also the SAT. We appreciate the achievement of 18 out of 19 targets. Though it was not normal for them to work because we were still under lockdown, Chair. But on the issue of the COVID period, the lessons must be learned by all of us that skies can be closed, borders can be closed. That means when we say we must also focus on domestic tourism, that must be taken into consideration, Chair. Also on the issue of quality assurance, I think I like the fact that they are going to focus on other categories of establishment, regardless of where they are. I think the presentation was saying so. Chairperson, we were told that there was an amount that went back to the national fiscal. It was not their own making because there was this disaster. It had made the country to make interventions to other sectors. And also the state became able to make interventions, even if it's in other areas. But what we must do is that I would advise that when they must reapply, because there was that amount that was sent back, they must be able to apply to Treasury so that we are given more when we are busy with the BRRR. I think we will highlight that. Chair, I think that was all that I was going to say. Otherwise, the 18 out of 19 makes me to appreciate and adopt the report as presented. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Kako. Honorable Mateka is around, but he's not feeling well, so there is a request from him that he'll be part of the meeting, but he can't speak. Is it still like that, Honorable Mateka?
Correct, Chair. I'm not well. Let me just ask an important question that I think. This Tourism Amendment Bill, when will it be ready? When are we going to get it passed? And the second question on it is, what does it seek to achieve? Let's get that in detail so that we are ready when it comes, then we know what to do. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Mateka, for that input. Honorable Makubela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation of the first quarter report of the entity, which is our only entity, SAT, and appreciate the work that has been done to have been able to meet all your targets but one. It means that you have put efforts in doing so, and we appreciate that, because we want, when you set targets for yourself, you must be able to meet those targets. However, the only question or comment that I have, Chairperson, is around the entity moving forward post-corona or within the new normal, as we are beginning to reignite, ensure that there is some level of economic activities or normality. The department or the entity had to forego most of their revenue from treasury. They had to return money also from the revenue streams which they were able to collect. They're not able to get those monies from conferencing, from Meetings Africa, and from Indaba. They were not able to collect those revenues. Also, the levy that is collected by hotels and establishments, we're not able to do collection during this period because we were on hard lockdown. I want to find out from the CEO and the team, what or how are they going to ensure that their economic recovery is met, because they do not have the enough or adequate resources to be doing so. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to see a situation where they had put plans on paper, but there was no resources to ensure that the plans that they have on paper are actually met through resources, and they're able to assist the country and the economy towards a recovery plan or trajectory. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Lucy. Honorable Makubela. From my side, there isn't much, Chairperson, and the rest of the collective of the board.
Chairperson, I'm sorry I'm very, very sorry
to break
you. Apparently, you work. I really apologize about that. Correct, Chairperson. And I do apologize for that.
No problem.
Which took longer than Chairperson, so I mean, I obviously trust that my colleagues did speak on the DA's behalf. But the question that I do have to ask, and I know that the minister isn't here, and the deputy minister, which is also all right, is that a few days ago, Mozambique, for instance, reduced its regulation in preparation for the period, obviously in order to prepare for the number of tourists in which they are going to be having coming in from their side, so that to make it easier for tourists to enter. And And I wanted to ask the question is that, has there been subsequent to our last portfolio committee meeting, any discussions within the about allowing more countries to be able to enter South Africa as tourists moving up to this December period? Because obviously I think that there was some concerns with the last portfolio committee. I'm just going to leave the chairperson and just trust that my other colleagues have
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Gumbi. Thanks very much for that input. Deputy Minister, the collective of the SA Tourism Board, through the chairperson, we want to congratulate you as the portfolio committee for the manner in which you had laid down your execution plan in as far as the target that you have set for yourself, how you went about implementing that, is almost 100% achieved. Now, humanity has got an inherent tendency of complacency. So when doing well, because of the accolades you get, the support that you get, because of the mileage that you get, sometimes that complacency creeps in without you deliberately arranging it. So we will ask SAT to make sure that you are always vigilant. And part of the detail of the vigilance must include ongoing assessment on how you can improve on what you did best, right? So that you can exceed your expectations, so that you can push more energy into the employees within the SA Tourism, whoever works with the SA Tourism, for better performance. That's the first point. The second point will be about making sure that this performance that we have achieved so well in Q1, on an ongoing basis, translates into actual assurance on quality inherent within the work and achievements that we are making on the ground, so that we don't just do the ticking of the boxes in as far as the compliance is concerned. So there must be material change on the ground that is tangible, that can be felt. That will also help in doing marketing without you having to spend money on marketing. Because if you do quality consistently, people are involved and so on, word of mouth spread amongst your clients, amongst your creditors, amongst your partners, amongst your fellow other board members in provincial boards, in municipalities, overseas, and so on. So part of the work which I think needs to be done from a branding and a marketing perspective is how this good performance is marketed in a way that will enhance your standing, your credibility, your recognition as a body, right? So I'll suggest that you do that so that complacency doesn't creep in. The third point will be CFO on that research part, right? I'm just suggesting that part of our research must help us to look at the future. and be able to work out the best scenario, taking into account the possible worst scenarios, which can then disrupt our plans in the medium so that from a research perspective, we are able to look at the future and say, all things being equal, we think that SAT, this is how it will assist the country to turn around some of the variables within the broader equation of the economy in South Africa, so that we can begin to use that forward-looking, forward-planning based on research, on scientific research, to change the national narrative on how the population of South Africa perceives the future, but also on how the outside world perceives us as a country. So let's make our own contribution from a research point of view, so that this pocket of good performance from SAT as part of the broader performance by the South African government can then demonstrate the extent to which we are able to perform as a collective in the country. The last point is on us on an ongoing basis continuing to make sure that the villages, the townships, and the small towns, there is this gradual but aggressive shift towards them going forward, because if we are not careful, we are under pressure now, we are not the only country. But countries, including South Africa, are under pressure to make sure that as part of gradual exit from the coronavirus manifestations, we do necessary repositioning, right? And we do better performance of the economy, create jobs, deal with unemployment, deal with questions of inequality and so on. It will be very, very important for us to be vigilant, because if we are not careful, the pressure to make sure that there is resuscitation of the economy for it to perform better, in the blind spot, there might be something that will result in us consolidating, strengthening the status quo in as far as the South African economy is concerned. So there might be, because of our performance, sudden booming of the tourism sector in the country. But when you look at the details beneath the booming of this tourism sector in the country, you just realize later that we have actually sustained, maintained, consolidated, and grown the status quo, which will therefore not help us in achieving what the Constitution in its preamble describes as the need to deal with injustices of our past. This pressure, I'm urging SAT, it's a necessary pressure for us to make sure that we resuscitate the economy through tourism. But we must not forget that in the blind spot, a risk exists that we might be strengthening, consolidating, growing, and sustaining the status quo. The status quo, which is very difficult to turn around in the country. Our next item is going to be transformation in the tourism sector. Very, very difficult to turn around. It's not only tourism. When you look at the food production sector in South Africa, food security, if you are to travel from the center of the country, the heart of South Africa, which is Free State, and you go to all the directions of South Africa, you will realize that you go through military, you go through game parks, mainly private, you go through huge farms and so on, where food security comes, you go through the mines and so on. That reality of South Africa includes, among other things, the fact that